Exodus 3 to give you a little background into the story, because we're going to be talking about the calling of Moses, but the main passage for today will be Exodus 4. So a little bit of background is Exodus 3 verse 1, where it says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up.' When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses said, 'Here I am.'" We're going to be continuing the main passage for today, building on the calling of Moses, which is Exodus 4. And I'm reading from the NIV, but the screen is ESV, I think. Exodus 4 from verse 1. "Moses answered, 'What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you?' Then the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' 'A staff,' he replied. The Lord said, 'Throw it on the ground.' Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, 'Reach out your hand and take it by the tail.' So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. 'This,' said the Lord, 'is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you.' Then the Lord said, 'Put your hand inside your cloak.' So Moses put his hand in his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous like snow. 'Now put it back into your cloak,' he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, 'If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the river, the Nile, and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground.' Moses said to the Lord, 'O Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue.' The Lord said to him, 'Who gave man his mouth? What makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say.' But Moses said, 'O Lord, please send someone else.' Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, 'What about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth, and it will be and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it.' This is the word of the Lord."
Thank you. So good morning, church. My name is Leonie. I haven't been that long in this church. In the fall, we have been here for 2 years. I've been married to Gert for almost 15 years. Not 51, but 15 is also quite long. We have three beautiful children, and I'm very honored to be speaking to you this morning. So the last 4 weeks, if you've been here, we've been talking about cultivating a hunger for God. And if you are cultivating this hunger, maybe for longer in your life, you will get to know him better. And I know that you will feel more loved by him. You will feel deeply loved by him. And if that's happening, your life will never be the same again. I know a lot of you can already testify to that. And maybe some of you are still searching. Or maybe you're even here today, like, what's church even all about? I hope this morning you will all sense, feel something, learn something from God, and you will have a hope and encouragement. So when we get to know God more and more, he will also send us out to bring hope into this hopeless world. That's a great thing, right? We've talked about it through all the true stories that we are made to be sent out. And although I can be very enthusiastic about it on Sunday, sometimes, and maybe you feel that too, you wake up on Monday morning and you think, but now what? I'm off to work, I'm off to school, I'm taking care of my children. Now what? There are so many people who don't know Jesus. There are so many things that are broken in this world. I feel that all the time when I'm walking through my neighborhood, cycling to the city, or meeting up with my friends and my family. And even this morning as I cycled to church, I cycled through the city center, and I came by the place where the student of Vindicat leaped from the Vindicat building. And I could just feel the despair she must have felt in those last few moments. And I could just feel the despair that people around her must feel right now. Things like this should not happen. But then they do. And sometimes we can be, we can feel a little bit lost, a little bit shy, a little bit little, maybe, if we see all these things around you. And if you don't have these things close to your house, you only have to turn on the news to see that we are living in a broken world. The world is on fire. You don't have to be a Christian for that, to see that. And this morning, I'm hoping you will all go home and speak to each other about the potluck, that there is hope, and that God wants to use all of us to bring hope to this hopeless world. So the topic of today is, what is in your hand? And we're going to be reading, we already have read some from the Old Testament, and we're going to read some more from the New Testament. And to keep you sharp, we are doing it the other way around. So first I will speak to you from the New Testament, and then the Old. So I will be reading from John 6, verse 1 to 13. And after this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And after is, he healed the man at the pool, quite a familiar story to most of us. And then he had this whole speech about that he is the Son, and that the Son can only do what he sees the Father doing. So after this, he is going to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him, because they saw the signs that he was doing to the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread, so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many?" But Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. And Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. I hope we will have as much of that at the potluck after the meeting. And when everyone had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. So we have here the situation of a very large crowd, 5,000 men, and probably a lot of women, a lot of children, even with them. Some say maybe 12,000 people were there, and everybody was hungry. And although the disciples have been with Jesus for some time and they have seen him perform miracles, they are not filled with this expectation that Jesus could do something. They are rather pragmatic. They're like, okay, we should send the people away. They should go out in town and buy some food for themselves. But Jesus maybe already knows there's a source of food in the crowd, because you hear him like thinking in the scripture, like he knew what he would do. And then this boy enters the scene, and he has some food in his hand. It wasn't a lot of food, it was just his lunch. And it is as if the writer wants to emphasize that it's not a lot. And in some translations, it's translated out. But it says, also in Greek, that there were barley loaves, gerstebrode. And barley was the food of the poor. It was the cheapest grain there was to get there in that time. So he did not have these amazing fresh loaves, or when we think of a bread, it's like this. It's also not enough, of course, for a lot of people, just like more like small bands of barley loaves. Not really good bread. And there are little fishes, not like these big fish, but just a snacky, the size maybe of your thumb, your finger. So just food for himself to get through the day. And we don't know what the boy was thinking when he was handing over the food to Jesus. We don't know if he was filled with expectation, like, oh, I'm giving this to Jesus, and he will know what to do with it, and he will perform this amazing miracle. Maybe it was just like, if only Jesus would eat, then he could keep on preaching. We can be hungry, but if I give my food to Jesus, maybe it will strengthen his body. And we will keep on listening to these amazing things he is saying. We don't know what he was thinking. But we see him doing knowing two things. First, he acknowledges he has something in his hand. And two, he trusts Jesus enough with it to bring it to him. And then Jesus, he performs this amazing miracle, feeding everyone, and in the end there are even 12 baskets of loaves left, like way more than what they're starting with. And when we talked about it with my kids at the table, they were like, how would that even look like? And I've never thought of that, but that's the mind of children, you know? Like, if someone is breaking bread and it's keep on breaking, is it growing back on? Or I would have loved to been there, to be there. But Jesus does this and everybody gets their fill. And there's even left, more left. And often it can be that in like that in our own lives. We see this great felt need. You feel that something needs to be done here. But what can I do about it? What can we do about it? But Jesus, he invites us to look at our own hands, to look at what's in your hand. Doesn't have to be great. We don't have to believe and think it will be enough. We just have to trust Jesus with it, and he will know what to do. The boy didn't need to be an impressive person. We don't even know his name. There's not much about him in Scripture, just that he was there and giving something to Jesus. He was just a boy with a bag of food. And imagine Jesus' invitation to him. Join me in my mission. All you have to do is hand me your bag of food and watch what we can do together. So we don't have to be impressive persons. We don't have to have impressive skills to team up with Jesus. And sometimes I have, and maybe you recognize it, that you have this division in your mind, like something is more holy than something else. And when I think about what I have in my hand, preaching is not the first thing that comes to mind. This is not my life, thankfully. This is not my life. When I wake up tomorrow, my life is just filled with all the ordinary things. I have 3 kids. I have my life, my week is full with ordinary things and ordinary opportunities to team up with Jesus. And something I try to give when I look at what's in my hand is just my time. So every time, sometimes I'm just tired and blocking myself off, but I try to be open when I go to the school of my kids. To pick up the kids, you stand, if you have kids, you know this, you stand there with all these parents waiting for the children to come out. And we don't go to a Christian school, so I try to be open for conversation, open for people trying to connect with me. So if I go to school, I try to clear my mind. I try to open up my heart and see what is coming. And a lot of the time, nothing happens. I just stand there or maybe have a little chit-chat. But I've also experienced these amazing conversations with other parents. And the parents would pour their hearts out to me just because I made a little time and I made a little space in my heart. And over time, I saw people that they recognized me as like this person of peace, someone who is safe, someone you can share your story with. It's a little bit of Jesus I let them meet, if they want to, with something that is just for me very ordinary, and even sometimes a bit awkward. And another thing I just happen to have, and we feel like it's a God's gift to us, is our house. It's not that big, but we have a great field in front of our house, and we just happen to live there. And we try to use that space, like to invite people over. Nothing big, nothing planned out. Just time and space for people to be with us and to be with Jesus. So what is something you have? Maybe you also have a bag of food, or maybe a fridge full of food to share with someone. Maybe you'll recognize that you have time on your hand to give, or just an attentive ear, a big heart to listen to people. I know Jan loves sports, so he tries to give that to Jesus, see what he will work through it. Maybe you are very good at sports or something else. And when I was preparing for this, I felt that I should address, like, I know there's a lot of people in this church that are just very intelligent. You have high education. You are here maybe also in Groningen to do research or to do something with medicine or other professions. And I know there will be jobs lying ahead of you in a career that will make you some great money. And sometimes it can maybe be frowned upon, like when the story about the camels, like money was one of the things they had to lay down in order to get through the gate. But it isn't about like you cannot earn a lot of money. I think God wants to say to you, like, use what you have. I gave you this. Some people have these amazing brains. if you know what to do with it and you have this great career in front of you, go do it. That's what God has made you to do. It's not about a thing is that it's not right to earn a lot of money. It's about what you do with what is in your hand. And if money is the thing that's in your hand, give it to Jesus. We need it, right? We need to pay for the building and all the other stuff. Maybe it's God's way of turning. I love to think about, like, if you are working for a government company or something like that, that God is using tax money to build the church. That's amazing, right? So let's pour as much money as we can into the kingdom of God. So maybe that's about you. Don't be shy to use your talents and trust God with it. He can turn whatever impact it is into something more miraculous than you have ever seen. It could also be that you are in this room and you're like, yeah, you're talking about what is in your hand. I don't know. I feel like I have an empty hand and I don't know what you're talking about. I cannot think of anything. Well, sometimes what is in your hand is so ordinary, you just don't see it yourself. But I know that we are all, if you don't acknowledge this or not, that God has made you fearfully and wonderfully. So I know God has put something in your life, and probably a lot of things in your life, in your hand that you have to give. Maybe you can ask him about it. Like, what do I have in my hand? And I will make space for that at the end. Or you can also ask people who know you, maybe have brought some people along with you, like, what do you see in my life that I have to give? Because sometimes we don't see, we think, it's just me and it's nothing much. Well, God doesn't need a lot of, like, much. And sometimes what is in your hand is something you will never think of giving to Jesus, like Jesus doesn't even want it. You know what's in your hand, but you don't think Jesus wants it. So let's turn to the story of Moses. Laura read it. I know it's a large piece of scripture, and we did only half of the calling of Moses. And God is calling Moses, and he draws his attention to him by a burning bush that doesn't burn up. And then this audible voice comes to him and starts speaking to him. That's amazing, right? I want that. And I feel like if God was doing that in my life, if I would hear his audible voice and see something really weird, then I would do what he says, I think. But not Moses. In chapter 3, we did not read it, but in verse 11, he's like, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children out of Egypt? And in chapter 4, he says, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. And in verse 10, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and of tongue. So even though God is calling him in a very outward, like, I don't know the word for it in English, but it's very obvious. Hello, I'm here and I'm calling you. He's like arguing with God, like, let's not do this. Pick someone else. And the Lord is gentle with him. And at the end, he gets a bit angry with him. And he isn't even is sending Aaron along with him. Okay. I will help you a bit. And then in chapter 4, verse 2, the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, Moses responds. And he lets Moses perform a miracle with the staff he has to do again in front of Pharaoh. And then so he would not forget in verse 17, at the end of this thing we call the calling of Moses, he reminds him, take in your hand this staff with which you shall do the signs. So God wants Moses to take his staff along with him and use it to show Pharaoh that Moses really sent by God. His staff, the thing he was carrying for 40 days, all day long, like shepherding the sheep. The thing that reminded him every day of where he ended up. Moses, son of a very brave Hebrew woman, who became a prince of Egypt. He fell down so hard through his own actions that he ended up far away from home, shepherding sheep. And if there's one thing, or actually there are two things in the Bible that Egyptians detest, and one of them is Hebrew, being a Hebrew, which he was, and the second is being a shepherd. There are two people, things the Egyptians detest, being a Hebrew and being a shepherd, and Moses was both. And I needed to show that. He needed to show that to Pharaoh. He needed to bring his staff along. So Pharaoh immediately would know what had become of him. So his staff, a constant reminder of his failure, he had to take that to Pharaoh, this stupid staff. And it could be that God is also showing you something that you have or maybe have experienced that is in your hand. And you just experience this shame, this weakness, this throwback into your history, what you want to leave behind. But it could be that that is just what God wants you to show to people so he can work through you. So I've been struggling with chronic fatigue for almost 15 years, so it started a bit like just before we met. It's something I don't want in my life, something I don't like. It's something I struggle with on a daily basis. And I cannot count the times that me and doctors have tried to see what is going on and make me better. But if I look back on those 15 years, I cannot deny the fact that God has used this in so many ways. For starters, it has drawn me so much closer to him. I had to let the fact sink in that I am his beautiful daughter. When I'm sometimes lying on my couch or in my bed all day, I had to let it sink in. I am his beautiful daughter. It doesn't matter what I do. I just am. And I could share so much more about that, but that's not the topic of today. So we can talk about it later if you want. But I've also helped a lot of other people with their struggles. I would recognize sometimes they are so tired or need some boundaries in their lives. I have a big heart for people who struggle with sickness or some other stuff that impacts their daily life. And I have a great conviction, I've grown a great conviction, that God is not only using the strong and energetic people in his kingdom, but he wants to use all of us. So through my experience, I've been a blessing to a lot of people over the years. It hasn't made me wanting to be so tired all the time, but it has made me so thankful that I get to share. And I let people be seen, first through me, and then through it by God. And maybe you have something like this in your own life. Maybe something is coming to your mind you don't want to share, or you don't see as something precious, but more as something that is like, this thing in your life you don't want. You want to get rid of it. Well, it's not important if you think you are able to give something the world needs. It's about God, what God wants to do with it. Like with the loaves and the fish, it isn't the boy performing the miracle, it's Jesus. And also with Moses and his staff, it isn't Moses who is turning the staff into a snake or a serpent, it's God. It's even very tricky if you are relying yourself on the thing you have in your hand. You see that with Moses. He gets confident with his staff. It's not the only miracle God lets him perform in front of Pharaoh. The staff, it comes back over and over if you read through Exodus. And there's this one time that God asks Moses to speak to the rock so that water will flow out of it because the people are very thirsty. And because he had done it before, Moses goes like, bam. Because the last time God asked me to do it, I had to hit my staff. I had to hit the rock with my staff. He was not listening anymore to what God was saying. He was saying, speak to the rock. I know what to do. And it cost him entering the promised land. It cost him a lot. So it's good to rely on God always. That's why I'm sometimes happy I feel some weakness in my life. Because otherwise I would go just do it and rely on myself. So the worship team may come up. And I want to end our time together by giving you some time to talk to God about this. What is it you have in your hand? And maybe you've thought of a lot of things during this sermon. Maybe you can think of 10 things that are in your hand. Maybe it's just this one thing that's keep coming back to your mind. Maybe you're pushing it aside, maybe not. But try to listen to God, if that is what he wants. Yeah, you to see that that is in your hand. And if you're not sure it's God speaking, it actually doesn't matter. Because if you give it to him, he will know what to do with it. So just if you would just like play some music. So in a moment, I will ask you to all close your eyes and hold up your hand. And imagine the thing that is in there. And it could be that this is a fitting posture for you, but it could also feel like maybe it's more like this, that it's something precious, something you want to just like use your body and hold out your hand or your hands. And think about what God has given you. What is it you are holding? Could be something you are happy with, something you are proud of. Could be as ordinary as food. Could also be something you actually detest having in your life. And if you want to really hold it, put your fingers around it and feel that you have something in your hand. It's yours. God gave it to you, or something ended up there through experiences in your life. It's yours. And if you feel ready, you can open up your hand again and lift it up to Jesus. Lift it up to God. Trust Him with it, and He will know what to do with it. And as you are doing this, maybe He will show you the impact you already have had. Or maybe He will show you just this one step that you can make tomorrow or the days after that. Just talk to Him about it. Dear God, I want to thank You for this whole room full of people that have something in their life that's ready to be shared. That You gave us something to bring hope in this hopeless world. And Lord, will You bless us if we go out today and we wake up tomorrow morning, we will know. We will know that we are deeply loved by You and that You gave us something to share. And that we will be bold to share it. Sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's not. You need to speak up. You need to step out and show it. Maybe show the thing you are afraid of, you are ashamed of. But I know that God will give you the confidence, the words, the love, the things that you will need in your daily life. And Jesus, thank You that we only have to give it to You. And You know what to do with it. We don't have to know. We don't have to get it. We can just be us. I can just be me. You can just be You. As ordinary as we are. But if we team up with You, if we go into this invitation to go on a mission with You, we trust You that You will do amazing things with it. Thank You that You are always with us. Not only here today, where we can really maybe sense it or see people around us who experience the same thing, but also tomorrow, maybe if you're the only one who's believing in Jesus, He is with you throughout all your day, all your week. Amen. The prayer team will be ready to pray with you on the side if you would like some prayer. Maybe they can help you discern what God is saying to you. Or maybe you could just ask a blessing over the thing that you are holding in your hand. And if you are with someone today, I would want to encourage you to share that with them. So maybe you can talk it over potluck, or in the next days or week, you can pray for each other and hold each other maybe accountable. Like, what are you doing with what is in your hand? Are you trusting God with it? What is He doing? Are you already seeing the things He is doing through you? Because He wants to give a lot into the world, not only through the big things of the people standing on the platform or evangelizing in the streets, but there's this room full of people with little things the world needs. Let's share them, and let's worship now.